We are in the middle of Kuf Tesvav Sif Aleph, which we learned last week. One of the longer Sifim that we've come across in Shulchan Aruch, we certainly in the Yoredeya that we've learned. So in Kuf Tesvav Sif Aleph, let's take a quick look at something in the Mechaber, and then a quick look at something in the Ramah, and then we'll take a look at the Tshuva from Rav Moshe. So hi, hello, Davar Tame. So in the middle of the Mechaber,
Rishnin Tess.
So in the middle, towards the end of that Mechaber, but where the Shach is up to Gimel or Dalet or so. So he says the following: V'hayelo Davar Tami V'Edro V'Yisrael Yoshimi V'Chutz. Let's say a Jew is sitting outside and a non-Jew is milking for the purposes of a Jew inside. Even if the Jew can't actually see, kishu yoshev, when he sits, im yachol erosu kishu omed, if he can immediately stand up, and by standing up he'll be able to see, right, mutter, that is permissible. Sheyare shema yamo, because the non-Jew is afraid that the Jew will stand up and see. Behu sheyodei shechalav tamei aser liYisrael, and he'll know that it's chalav tamei, which is aser to Yisrael. What is exactly the non-Jew is afraid about is unclear. He's afraid he's going to lose all the Jewish business. He's afraid he's going to lose his business. He's afraid he's going to lose this sale. Right? It's unclear. But the non-Jew is afraid of something. So if the non-Jew is afraid of something, so it seems that the Jew, even if he doesn't actually see it with his own two eyes, or even only one eye, he doesn't see it with any of his eyes, but since the non-Jew is afraid that the Jew is going to pop up and he's going to see it, so that's sufficient to label it Chal of Yisrael. We're good? You're okay?
Right? I can't find it.
Thank you. Oh, okay. Same page. Same page.
No, I have
Kuf Tes Vav right here. Why doesn't it say there? So if we go right in the middle of that Ramah, there is a Bir Agra, a bracketed Tes. There's a Shach Yud Gimel. Actually, that's really where we should start. There's a Shach Yud Gimel. Actually, the line before the Shach Yud Beis points out that a katan ol katan mu'ilim, that actually having a child works, that ovi kuchav and mirsas lifnei, was non-Jew is afraid even of the little kid.
So where are you reading from?
Where the Shach is up to Yud Beis in the Ramah, but in the Ramah that is labeled for the Shach Yud Beis. Right there, right in the middle over there. Uh-huh. Right, so he points out that a katan or katana, that if you just send your child to watch, that's sufficient. Even though a child isn't royal edus, the child doesn't actually affect anything, right? But the child will impose this mirsas, will impose this fear on the non-Jews, and that already is sufficient. The im chava ovikulchav miksas behemos. Let's say the non-Jew started. He started milking some of the cows. Velo hayasham Yisrael, there wasn't any Jew there. Va'achakav bo Yisrael al hacher, and then the non-Jew comes to watch the rest of them. Achshav bizman hazesh ein chol of davar tamei matzui klal mutter. Nowadays, bizman hazeh, that people are not knowing, people are not accustomed to milk non-kosher animals, so that works as long as a Jew sees part of it. However, Miu, says the Ramah, im lo ba sham Yisrael ad la'achar shenichalvu kulam, if the Jew doesn't come until after they have all been milked, after you're done, the milk is considered chalav akum, or not usable, even if you check and you find and look around and see that there's no non-kosher animals in the area. So even though you look and you see that, right, it's still it's going to be not kosher. Okay, so we learned last week before we do the. So the Shach points out one thing. It's a very long Shach, but it's going to be hard to find the specific spots to work on. But the Shach mentions in the middle that it has to be rov. That even if you look at the sources of the Ramah himself, and probably the Ramah meant to say this, is that you have to start watching before most of the milk was milked. Right, even though he says shenechlavu kulam, that all of it was right. If you come after it was all done, right, so then that's the problem. The Shach says no, it's halfway through. And if you look at the Be'er Hetiv, right, the little ches, I think it goes to the Rehitiv, right? Kulam. So because the Rehitiv quotes it, his Kasav Ashach Zekai al Acholi. You see the Rehitiv Ches. Right, so he says Kasav Ashach. So he quotes the Shach. Zekai al Acholi Behemas Yisrael Berefes Shachori Beis Yisrael. That this is talking about milking Jew, having the non-Jew milk Jewish-owned cows in a Jewish-owned courtyard. But if that's the case, it's unclear. I mean, that's the case the Rama was quoting. But if that's the case, why does the Rama say it's us, or if the Jew comes after it was all done? That's actually in the Darkening Moshe we read last week. There's probably a mistake here, right? In the Ramah, v'cholze, and this is all talking about v'chole for the purposes of kusach or to eat the milk that way. The point is only with regards to using the milk itself. But if the non-Jew is using it for cheese, so that's sif base. We haven't covered. This is all just about milk. It's not about cheese yet. I don't know if we're going to get to anything having to do with cheese tonight. Okay, so the Verhitov says either one or the other. If it's a Jewish owned cow, or a Jewish owned cow, or in a Jewish owned courtyard, so then you don't actually have to see it at all. You just have to know that there is no non kosher animals in the vicinity. If it's a non Jewish owned courtyard and non Jewish owned cows, right? So then you have to be there at least for rove of the milk. He quotes the Shach. So the term that the Rama says ach yichavu kulam, he says, doesn't fit either one of those ideas, and he says he thinks that line that word shouldn't actually be there. Okay, but that's what we have so far. That's the only kula. So what do we have so far? The only kula is if it's either a Jewish owned farm or Jewish owned cows, and it's on the Jewish property, or it's on the Jewish property. So that's one scenario where the Jew doesn't actually have to see it, assuming he actually would be able to get there. And the other scenario that we have is a non-Jewish cow, or non-Jewish, and you know that there's no non-kosher animals in the vicinity, as long as you were there before he finished milking half of it, you're still okay. That's what's in the Rama. But, so comes along the Chsam Sofer. The Chsam Sofer is quoted, Simon Kuf Zayin in the Chsam Sofer, he's quoted in the Pischei Tshuva. We learned this last week, let's take a look again. Pischei Tshuva Gimel comments the Asur. Right, so Richard, we go right on to the next page where it says, "I am a child of Chuvah's Chut Hamishulash, Chelik Dad, Misafer Tashpeitza, Torah Rishon, Simulam Abbez." Okay, but I am the Chuvah's Ches Samach. See the Sam Sofer, Simon Kufzayin, Shaharich Lahavi Rayos, that he brings a lot of proofs. The Chalav Nesar Biminyan, Kiyai Nesach. That milk is actually Aser B'minyan. What does it mean that it's Aser B'minyan? That it's actually a full-fledged gezeira. It's actually a full halacha. That it's like a din d'rabbanan. Right, so for more on Davar Shu B'minyan, you come to my Shira 10 tomorrow evening. That's what we're speaking about. But what the Chsam Sofer is saying is it's a din d'rabbanan. It's like the second day of Yontif. Right? It's the din. There's nothing changing the din. There's nothing, you know, even though you can make an assertion that all the milk is kosher, it doesn't matter. It's like Bishul Akum. All the ingredients are kosher, but if it's not done in a Jewish way, you're not going to be able to eat the food. So too, if the milk is not done in a Jewish way, you're not going to be able to drink the milk. And he points out there are some that say that we're makil, but the Chsam Sofer says, but our minug is to be machmir, and in all the cities that I know of in Hungary, everybody was machmir on the din of chalav stam. Right, so that's sort of where things were left. So with that, let's turn to the tshuva from Rav Moshe. Now there are. One takes a look at the official. So actually, before we get to the English version, Rabbi Jachter in his book Gray Matter, as well as online, let's see, Rabbi Jachter is a Rebbe at TABC, Torah County Bergen County. So they have a weekly Dvar Torah sheet the students put out called Kol Torah. But Rabbi Jachter has like a massive halacha article like in each one, which are very well researched and very well done. And then he's collected them over the years and put together a book called Gray Matter. So there's Gray Matter Volume 1, Volume 2, Volume 3, and a lot of them are not necessarily lifted, but it's his work. It's not nothing wrong with it. So he's put them together into a sefer. So he has an article, several articles, in several weeks he discussed the idea of Chalav Akum. He also has several articles he discussed Gevinas Akum. And he points out that even before, what they do before Rav Moshe, right? All of a sudden he comes to America, right? Rav Moshe in this article, in his tshuva, refers to the idea that everybody's already drinking this milk. So, what? Even Orthodox Jews are all drinking this milk. So if you ask somebody, Bizman has a 90s, why do people drink milk from a store without a hechsher on it? Right? Oh, well, Rav Moshe has a tshuva. Well, okay. What they do before Rav Moshe had a tshuva? Rav Moshe noticed something. So you could say everybody wasn't religious, but you got to say a little bit more than that. So in that article, he quotes that Rav Melech Shechter, Rav Shechter's father, Zecher Tzadik Lebracha, has commented once that the minhag before Rav Moshe came with his tshuva was to paskin like the Pri Chadash. The Pri Chadash is the idea that if there are no other animals in the vicinity, so one has the right to be mekel, and that was enough of a cool. That's what they relied on in America. Those people that relied on it in America, that was the idea that they were. That was what they were relying on. Fine, but Rav Moshe develops the idea that that it's more than just. That it's more than just that one actually has the right to say to beyond what the pre-chadash says, that just, of course, we know that there aren't that many things there, but that we actually have a yidi, we actually have a re'iyah. Just as the Jew seeing it is considered enough of a mirsas onto the non-Jew, so too in America that should work as well. So the first tshuva, before I have for you on Simen Mem Zayin is clear that you have, right? You have Mem Zayin, the beginning of Mem Ches, but you really also have the end of Mem Vav, right? So the end of the Mem Vav Shaila was, it starts on the page before, was Be'inyan Chalav Shemachal Shavs Befrahesya. That's the first question, right? So what about if it's a Jewish home, but he's not religious at all? So what does that do? And in that tshuva, he already develops the idea that that the government works. That if you look at the top.
You're talking about like the guy who milks the cows? Is what Chalav Shavs?
The owner of the farm, yeah. No, the owner of the farm.
Funnel.
Yeah.
Not the store.
Right, so if you look at the right, it is actually a review of our Pasakum Sigiv. This is the paragraph beginning the word Aval. Mm-hmm. Right, so what does he say there? So he says, Aval Mikol Malkum Nirish is a review of what we learned with Pasakum and Bishalakum, right? Does the prohibition of Pasakum and Bishalakum apply to Mechal Eshav Sefer Hesya, people that, in theory, have lost their privileges of being considered part of the Jewish people? Right, so there he says, Nirish Loya Mechal HaGezerah, Lamadi Isa Magim Mishnah Perek Gimel Mimachal Sasur Salach Yid Gimel. Yes. B'Shem HaRamban V'HaRashba. Right. She'ein Holchen V'Isurin Elu Shal Akum Acher Nesinas Tam She'chacham Ratzu L'Harchik Ma'achaleihem. She'zeh Lo Shayach V'Yisrael Mechal HaShav Safer V'Hesya. V'Lachain Ein Os Lesser El Kesheish Chashash Mamish. He says, what were these Gezerus made for? The Gezerus of Pasakum and Bishalakum, what were they made for? As the Gemara clearly says, they're made Mishum Chastus. They're made because in order to prevent intermarriage. So says Rav Moshe, well, what about the Mechal Shavs Befrahesya? Right? Are you allowed to marry his daughter? So Moshe said, yeah. Are you allowed to marry his daughter? So that's the case. Right? We had the Piskei Tshuva discusses this in the, that we learned Piskei Tshuva that covers this in both places. The Piskei Tshuva discusses this. And it says that, no, so therefore it doesn't apply to Mechal Shavs Befrahesya. And then on top of the page here, he also has the idea with the fear of the fine, right? About five lines before the end, he says, "Lachain svari degam b'mirsa zeh shel onesh chukei hamedina," that the punishment of the law of the land loya bechlal hagezera, right, is not included in the gezera. Finias dais mistabesh adin kemosam avalika chalav mi farmer nachri nisharin kol yisrael bnei Ashkenaz delokra bazar bichadish v'ayin lecham sofer v'uvda right airi be farmer. Okay, what does he mean by this? He says that. He's already saying that, let's say it's just a farmer, like you go to the farm, you go to Joe down the block and you ask him for milk. So Rosh says it doesn't apply there, right? It only applies to the guy who's subject to the hashgacha of the USDA, right? But if he's just milking stuff for you, right? So then it wouldn't be sufficient just to rely on the USDA, which I guess was relevant in the year Tafshin Yud. Okay, so that was written to Rav Meir, Uri Meir HaKohen. I don't know, this is Ram B'Toras V'Das. Okay, so Simen Mem Zayin is written to a Rav Yehuda Dick. So is Simen Mem Ches, and so is Simen Mem Tes. They're all written to the same person, Rabbi Yehuda Dick, who apparently felt that it was a problem to have milk from non-Jewish owned companies. So we'll do part of, we'll do, we won't do the whole thing, we'll do part of what he says. This is V'davar ha'chalav shel ha'companies, right? B'medina senu, in our country, asher yesh pikuach ha'memshala, that are, right, that the government is looking after. V'mi'arvu chalav behema temeya, and if they mix in behema temeya, ya'anchu, they're going to be punished. V'gam yaskiru es ha'esek shalhem, and they'll have their companies closed. Right, shalachin vaday mir sasi mila arev yish tam gadol lahater. And there's a fear that they're of mixing things together, so there's good reason to be matir. Af below sheet of the pre-chadash, even without the sheet of the pre-chadash. Again, the sheet of the pre-chadash is because we know the pre-chadash is because there are no other animals around, right? So that was what I quoted before. There, Rav Melech Shechter thought that that's what they all relied on. They all used to rely on the pre-chadash. So Rav Moshe says, no, this is even better than the pre-chadash. Why is it even better? Mishum da ikar diyadiya bruhu kariya mamish. Because if you know something for a fact, right, if you have a yediya, clear knowledge about something, that is as if you saw it. Similar to edus mamun. If you didn't, even though you didn't actually see, I didn't look up the Gemara, I'm not sure what it's talking about. But he quotes another example. Right, we have the idea of what does Beistin see when a ger is tovel? So when a ger is tovel, it's not a big deal. You watch the ger be tovel. But what about when a gioris is tovel? So what do you watch when a gioris is tovel? So there's actually different shitas in the Gemara in Tosfos. But we assume that you go, you see her neck, and then you don't watch her actually go all the way in, and you kind of assume that you hear her flopping, you know, was flashing around a little bit, so you assume that she actually went in. There's usually a mikvah lady there as well. So the mikvah lady actually sees, but the basin doesn't actually see. The basin just has the idea that it took place. So that's sufficient. That's the geder, that's the border, the rule, the category of I saw anansadi. I saw they find in many places. Even people that accept kedushin, shafshlo ro el hayichud. What do the edi kedushin see? Right. So the most that they'll see is that they are secluded. Right. Edi yichud. They saw that they were secluded. What happened after that? We don't know. Right. But we say the el hayichud who kiro habiyamamish. Just seeing them be miyachid is as if you saw the actual bia. V'nasis esishish gemura, and she's made fully married. Even if, and then she goes out and has an affair, right? So we say, well, how do you know that she was actually married? Well, what do you mean? She had yichud. Well, okay, that's sufficient.
Even the ring is sufficient.
Right, that is true. Right, afluchi of mitzvah. Right, that's true. Misa levala achar. No. However, the. Another kedushin won't work. Yeah, that is true. The ring would be sufficient to give her a chayv misa, but a ring. But the other end is also true. That even though you don't actually see her actually have via with a man, have an affair, just I'm not sure yichud works for that. But at least seeing things that look like an affair is enough to ascertain that she actually had an affair. Okay, so, and he goes on and gives other examples. Actually, that's the paragraph that begins V'yesh Yediya. So that's this: She'af b'nefashos nechshav ru'iyah de'binafim ad she'yiru k'derech haminafim. Just watching them do derech niyuf. Niyuf is, you know, the moral activities. Afshe achiv hu rak im hichnis kimekachol b'shoferes shelo roze. Even though the chiv is only when kachol b'shoferes is the Gemara's language for his organ into her organ, shelo ro, because even though you don't actually see that, right, it's enough to be able to give her a chiv misa. So therefore, The Rav Moshe then says, "V'achin b'chalav she'asu rak b'chavul akum." Therefore, milk that is prohibited just was a chalav akum. V'ein Yisrael roei, you and a Jew didn't see it. Yesh lahatir gam b'Yisrael yodin yudia brewer the havi kariya. Right, that one can matir for a Jew because they know, and knowledge is like seeing it. And therefore, you know, if you go to this store and you buy milk, and they ask you where's that milk from, you say it comes from a cow. How do you know? I know. It's good enough. Right, v'zeshim yarbu yansh. Right, and that's if they mix together, they'll be punished. They have to close their companies. Right, harvacha shall come alafim. It's many thousands of dollars, at least in the year Tafshin Yudal, many thousands of dollars. Now it'll probably be more. Right, memshala mishkachas aleim, and the government watches over them. Who vada yediyah brura shehi kiriya shelo ayah bechlal yisurim, which is seeing, which isn't in bechlal yisurim. V'zehu gam l'chul yalma de'in tam lachol k'vazeh. Right, and this should be for everyone. There should be a reason to divide. Much what he means by everyone. V'lachin ha'rotzil lismuch v'lahakel yesh lo tam gadol v'rashai. I guess for everyone, for all the Jews, one could rely on this. I mean, not for the whole world. As was pointed out, when I went on my Poland trip, so one of the it was the first year of this trip. So when I was in yeshiva. So one of the reasons they have for starting a new trip is because one of the directors once went on a different trip and they had breakfast. What they had for breakfast, they had cereal and milk. He says, well, where did you get the milk from? What do you mean? He went to the store and bought some milk. He said, well, there's no USDA supervising the milk in Poland, right? It only applies in America, or at least other countries where they have this type of strict regimen. But if it's not America, and trust me, drive around Poland for a week, it's not America. That would not be that's not enough of a yedia. Yishtam gadol v'rashai kamosh makilim b'zev v'harov b'nei adam shomri tor v'gam harbi rabbanim v'chas v'shalom lomar sh'osin shalom k'din. Right, therefore those who are like could, just like many are makil, most of the Jews that are shomri Torah, and even many rabbis are very makil like this, v'chas v'shalom lomar sh'osin shalom k'din, v'chas v'shalom that they're not doing k'din. So that's interesting. I mean, they're already doing it, which is an interesting. They're already, which is important to keep in mind. Aval mikol makom lebali nefesh miharoy lahachmir. This is the big but, right? However, for many bali nefesh, if minaroy, it's fit for them to be machmir. Beimazim yishum yura. There's no yura involved. V'kachani noeg, and that's my minag as well. So Moshe writes explicitly that he was noeg to be machmir about chol of Yisrael. Lahachmir laatzmi v'mishirotz lahakel who osik adin of ein lahachshivo kimizalzel b'yisur. And we don't consider him like he's being mezalzel and yisur or anything, right? You have the right to be machmir, you have the right to be makel. And he adds in the last point here, well, what about if you decide to be machmir for a little while, which is always an interesting din. V'im echa nohag lahachmir, if one was noeg to be machmir, im nesar midin min ha-gimel pa'amim. Right, if they answered it, they did it three times, they were machmir on it. Now, it's a little bit difficult to figure out how you're machmir on it. What does that mean, I was machmir on it? I was machmir on three breakfasts in a row? Well, I suppose I had one carton of milk, right? What does that mean, that you are machmir on it? But you have in mind you're being machmir. Is it the three times you don't add milk in Starbucks to your coffee? Like, I'm not sure what that means. But Tali im haisa kavana sol, if your kavana was, I'm hereby being machmir, afim adinhu lahatir, v'kolch kim biyaduah ba'atzma sheyesh lahatir, mikol makom lag isr, yesh lav isr neder dina, gimel pa'amim, v'ayim hachmir, mishum shehu sover, she'asr midina, right? O af rak she'asr misafik, v'chashav al makim, sh'ulai toin bedin, o sh'ulai him izalzim, v'yisur, ein alav dineder mitzad minhago, v'ein sarach lahatir. He says something very interesting here. Right, if this one decides I'm being machmir, this following rule: if somebody accepts a chumra upon themselves three times, so that chumra is binding upon him like a neder. In fact, in the Hataras Nedarim that we say erev Rosh Hashanah, erev Yom Kippur, in comments, that's one of the things that we annul. Right, if I happen to be machmir on something three times, thereby accepting upon myself a neder, well, that's off the books. So Rav Moshe says that if you realize that this is a chumra and you're doing it b'toras chumra three times, so then that's a neder and you have to get out of it. But if you thought that it was the din, I mean, if you thought that was the halacha is I have to have this, and all those people that have, that have ShopRite brand milk are all the isser and violating the din, etc. And now all of a sudden, Rav Moshe says, you read my letter and you realize, oh, it's not so bad to eat the ShopRite brand milk, to drink the ShopRite brand milk. Oh, so are you, is the chumrah binding upon you? So Moshe says, no. It says, not binding upon you. You didn't realize that that was the din. You didn't realize that that was mutter as well. So that's how he, and that's how he concludes. That's how he concludes tshuva number one. I came across, I emailed a chaver of mine at the OU today, who who sent me, I asked him if I could get any of those tshuvas that he sends me often. So he didn't send me two tshuvas, but he did send me a link to something that he had wrote. This is Rabbi Gordimer. There we go. No, that was my email to him. Where's his email to me? Oh, I think I might have erased it by accident. He has a post on here, Hurim, Torah Musings.com, which is a fascinating website, where he posted a year ago that some have raised the issue about is Rav Moshe's Heter better or worse than it used to be, and he says, and he can assure people that it's better than it ever was before. He runs, he's the cheese and milk for the OU, I think is, I don't know how it works exactly, but he's like their expert, he does the cheese and milk, works on policy or whatever. So he's like, assure you that it's better than it ever was, and the government is now stricter about it. They have cow-only farms, you need a special license if you're not going to have a cow on your farm, and there's nothing else that's permitted into the milking area, and whatever, and the rules and guidelines are better. So the truth is, in the next, the Ode B'Inyan Hanal is Rabbi Dick writing back to Rav Moshe Feinstein and saying, how could this be? And what was his taina? So I have on the page here, you can see what his taina was. Mr. Rav Moshe quotes his taina. So five lines down, it says, Va'afshe kaf taf resh, right, which is referring to the writer. I'm not sure what it stands for. But it's referring to the writer. Shalach li tshuva mafkid hashalton sha'una shalzeh hu rak mi esim v'chamish an mei adalar. He says, "The what do you mean, you're this massive punishment that's going to shut down the farm? Right? The punishment is $25 to $100. The gamhei mekabli shuchta. Not only that, but perhaps the what's it called? The inspectors accept bribes, right? Lo nispat lebezeh hayadia mishum de'ein lehem bishvil ma'lavor ve'la'onish v'litein shochad de'ein liyos mizeh revach sheyimsu nafshay al zedekevan. Right? So they don't necessarily have the motivation to not do it. And Moshe goes on to say, no. They saw that's enough of a motivation. That's enough of a mirsas, and they wouldn't violate the din. There's another tshuva. Then there's Ode B'Inyan Hanal, right? The first one was Tesvav Sivan Reish Tavshin Yudal. The next one is Rosh Chodesh Menachim of Tavshin Yudal.
We don't have that.
And that I didn't put on, right? Tavshin Yudal, where that's where he raises the issue of the Chsam Sofer. That's where he says, well, wait a second, doesn't the Chsam Sofer imply that it should be a low plug, that it should be a dinder banan, and there shouldn't be a way out of it? So Rav Moshe slides around and says, yeah, I reserve the right to disagree with the Chsam Sofer. That's essentially what he says. He says, I'm not sure. If you look in Rashi, Rashi doesn't seem to say it that way, and Rav Moshe seems to get out of that issue. So that is, but in every one of these tshuvos, and this is what the Chal Yisrael people always point out, that in every one of these tshuvos, Rav Moshe concludes by saying, so I think that it's permissible, I think that it's mutter, and all the people that rely on it could be wonderful tzaddikim and righteous, etc., etc. He says, but, you know, Yiri Shemaya b'nei Yeshiva should be machmer. So that's always in the biography of Rav Amital, a friend of mine told me, hear this once from Rav Amital, he went to the Gush, Rav Amital makes the point, someone asked Rav Amital, a shaylin, the Mishnah Berurah, where the Mishnah Berurah says something like, you know, Kol Yiri Shemayim Lahachmir or something like that. So Rav Amital looks at him and says, so you're Yiri Shemayim? So you're, you qualify? I don't qualify. You qualify? You know, so it's always unclear what he means by that. And that's where stuff in the Hirhurim. In that Hirhurim article, so in one of the comments, they raise the issue about Rav Moshe. He comments at the end of the article, Rav Gordimer comments, says, it doesn't change, if you're going to be machmir on the din, none of this changes that idea. Meaning, just saying that the government inspection can be as strict as you want, right? If you're machmir because of the Chsam Sofer, right, it's not going to help. So someone in the footnote says, why did Rav Moshe include that idea? Yiri Shemayim should be machmir if he really held to this. So he said, I heard it was only to like appease the Hasidim or to appease like whatever. I don't know. Yes.
What's the where does or how does the Inyan of Avkas Cholov
You mean the butter, the other stuff?
I mean, there's apparently is a shita that the iser anyway only applies to liquid milk. And
yeah.
Once the milk is has in a different form, then there is no such thing as called Yisro problem at all.
Right. So there was this big machlokas in the 40s in Eretz Yisrael, apparently. There was a big milk shortage, and they imported the... Mary Jaffe has this in his article. They imported milk, they imported powdered milk from America.
Uh-huh.
And Shiloh was, could they accept that? So C.P. Frank said yes.
Right.
And the Chazon Ish was against it, which is very interesting, because the Chazon Ish also seems to be Mekel on this thing. The Chazon Ish, in the Sefer Chazon Ish, seems to talk about government observance and seems to say be okay with it. But the Chal of Yisrael people point out that the Chazon Ish is operating within the Pri Chadash, so we reject the Pri Chadash, and we don't necessarily reject the Pri Chadash. But he says, but the Chassam Sofer knew the Pri Chadash, and the Chassam Sofer rejected the Pri Chadash.
Right.
So the Chazon Ish could talk within Lamdas about whether government's regulation works that qualifies for the Pri Chadash. If you're going to be machmer like the Chassam Sofer, which l'chor you should be, unless you read the Rav Moshe Tshuva, right? Which Rav Chori should be, so then it doesn't help. The Chazon Ish would be Macher. It seems like in the case of the powder milk, the Chazon Ish was Macher. But that comes up a little bit later on in the Siman.
But what about... You mean Macher like the Chassam Sofer? You mean be Macher like the Chassam Sofer's position, not because it's the Chassam Sofer?
It's like Halacha Kavasrai. So Chassam Sofer records that was the Minug in Europe. The Minug in Europe was to be Macher for this din. So it's not just as lambdas, that's the minhag.
And if he has a shita in another area which is really really makel, I mean, but people would not necessarily do that.
Well, I mean, certain chuvas have more mazel than others.
We don't apparently don't pick one posek or a poskim and say, okay, we are holding these.
No,
people. That has gone. That's no longer in, we're not doing that anymore in our time.
Not like that. What do you mean? I follow every Chassam Sofer.
I have Moshe my posek, and I'm going like a Moshe l'chor l'het or whatever it is, or the Ramos my posek. I'm going like the Ramos where you know, we don't do that anymore, right? We go according to where people slide.
I don't know. That's why you have to be a big Talmud Chacham when you figure it out. It's not necessarily. I don't think it's random. Certain tshuvos have more mazel than others. So Chassam Sofer gets picked up by others. Chassam Sofer was, you know, people were machmer for that one. So that has standing, right? What people are doing has standing. I don't think you can pick someone who's dead and say I'm going to paskin everything like him. It doesn't work. Someone had a very nice ha'ara when after Rav Lau, I think, when they got the new chief rabbis. So the word got out that I think it was Rabbi Lau that he had negotiations with Rav Eliyashiv on Yeshiva World News. I don't think I'm saying anything big, any big fiducian here. That he had negotiations with Rav Eliyashiv's Geirus point man, and like they reached an understanding. So this led to like a huge firestorm. What do you mean the chief rabbi shouldn't be beholden to Rav Eliyashiv and et cetera, et cetera? So someone made a very good ha'ara on the listserv. I can't say who it was, but he made a very nice ha'ara on the RCA listserv where he said when the person is alive, meaning if you want to say like when Rav Yosef is alive, so then he holds the key to all the kulas and the chumras. I mean, he has the right to be makel on something he said, like David Abraham told the stories with the Eruv where Ravad Yosef seemed to be makel to him against something he explicitly wrote in Tshuvos, right? Which happens all the time. So, but once the person has passed away, so the person who's claiming to, I'm the expert in everything that person said, loses that ability to be makel against something that's explicit. And that's very dangerous. That's why, you know, the idea of picking a posek and saying, I'm going to listen to everything that person says, I think that certainly exists. But I don't think it only exists if the person's alive. If the person's dead, I think that's much more problematic. is going to. So he did the. So apparently in Rabbi Jackson's article, this I never heard before. I'm not sure if it's in print anywhere. But Rav Salvechik had another kula beyond what Rav Moshe said, which he claimed even got out of the Chasam Sofer. I mean, Rav Moshe argued against the Chasam Sofer. Right, the Rav came along and said, "Well, I have three tzad lahakel. Number one is the pre chadash, right? That you know, as long as it's only cows, it's only cows. Number two is government inspection, and that's the idea, etc. What about the chasam sofer? The chasam sofer should be low plug. So the Rav said, is quoted as saying that, no. What is the gezerah of chalav akum? The gezerah of chalav akum is cows milked by non-Jews. Who milks cows? Was one is that?
Machines.
So he says the gezeirah doesn't apply. The gezeirah doesn't apply anymore. So that was his addition, which therefore he, I believe, is known that he was makel. I mean, he was personally makel, like an entering Khalistan, etc.
Story of somewhere on the shelves where these two guys used to go to an inn and have coffee and. They knew they were doing the wrong thing, but the guy had this cream, and they used to put some in the coffee. And they figured, well, it's not going to be a problem because, you know, what could it be? It must have been somewhere in Europe.
Uh-huh.
So, and one day it's amazing, the guy always has delicious sweet cream. I said, how do you always have this delicious sweet cream? He says, well, I take the bones, and I grind them up, and I mix them with the milk. And then they realize that they should have a little more cream.
Right. That's interesting. I mean, I didn't think about that for tonight, but we, you know, usually you go to a Starbucks and right if you want milk, so there's the pitchers of milk. So are you allowed to rely on that? So presumably yes. Presumably I think we do because like what's in it for them to switch it up? But here you're saying maybe there is something in it for them to switch it up. So I think we're there is one more idea which Rabbi Jaffe quotes in his article where he discusses.
Starbucks, you can ask them.
Show me the card and show me
the card. Which they do. I mean, I have. And they, you know.
Right. So he has one that inerits, apparently, Rav Bakshi Daron, when he was chief rabbi, so he dealt with the issue of Stam Chol in Eretz Yisrael. And he wrote that he thinks that in Eretz Yisrael we should be machmir for the din of Chol of Yisrael. Why? So because. We're all Jews here. the only reason for the heter is Mishum Tzorach, but there's no Tzorach here. We have plenty of Jews, and plenty of Jews are willing to milk the cows, and there's no reason to be Mekel and allow in the idea and allow in Stam Chol. So he was Machmer. The official position of the chief rabbin at Bizman Hazeh is to be Machmer. Is to be Machmer on Chol of Yisrael. So the powdered milk is a question. I believe I think he wrote that the regular Rabbanut accepts milk powder, and the Mahadran does not. The regular is Mekel like the Ratzi Pesach Frank, and the Mahadran is Machmer like the Chazon Ish. So then he adds in the following idea, what about if you're an Israeli and you come to America? So are you Mechuyev to be Machmer on Chol of Yisrael? Of course, it's the din of it's like 2 days of Yontif, right? It's like Makom Shenogu, right? So you're in Eretz Yisrael, you are by definition Machmer on Chol of Yisrael. So you come to America, so you should be required to follow the chumras of the place that you came from. So he writes that he writes that he asked someone in Eretz Yisrael about this, and they said no, in Eretz Yisrael they're makel on it also. Where are they makel on it also? Where is there stam chalav stam sold in Eretz Yisrael? Anything milchiks that comes from America is anything that has Hershey's on it is milk. So he says, even though the Rabbanut might be machmer, most people in Eretz Yisrael are not machmer on this din, and therefore, since they're not really machmer on the din in Eretz Yisrael, they don't have to be machmer on the din when they come to America either. So, Bob has to leave. He needs to leave. But we'll stop here.